This is Anniversary Chapel by way of our calendar reference-wise, and so called because of the fact that it is an occasion to just be reminded of the opportunity that happened as the transition of leadership took place now 34-plus years ago in behalf of the Ministry of Appalachian. And it's not a matter of drawing attention to that day in a sense of a particular personal interest, but it is a chance to just be reminded again of God's faithfulness. And so Anniversary Chapel in the sense of celebrating and being reminded of God's care in the transition of leadership as Dr. Pipkin, our founding president, concluded his time and as I stepped into that capacity of leadership. One of the reasons for the continuation of that reminder is that on that occasion, as it first took place, part of the challenge of that day was giving what's referenced, I guess, as an inaugural address. And in the context of that, seeking to bring to light things that were upon the scene of education now these 34-plus years ago in behalf of the cause of Christ, concerns that should be faced and be aware of. And so I found myself in the sequel of years since then saying, you know, the issues of that day change, but there's always an issue or matters of concern or matters of importance that should be reminding us of our challenge as we serve the Lord, prepare to serve the Lord. So the real purpose of Anniversary Chapel is to seek to bring to your attention a particular issue or matter that I feel is of contemporary concern. And so today I bring to our attention one of those occasions where I find myself saying, Lord, as I just span the spectrum of ministry, as it's my privilege and responsibility to be somewhat conversant with the issues of the day, to traffic in the arena of ministry, as I find myself called upon to do, what issue would be particularly sort of prevalent to bring to our attention today? It didn't take me long in my own heart to say, Lord, I have a particular burden for a matter that I believe is particularly urgent for our need, and that is this. I fear that we have a missing sense of what it means to be intimate in our relationship with God. Intimacy with God. You know, the intimacy of God is so critical for us to be what we should be for the Lord. And so I want to just give a quick review in three different areas of thought. First, the cause for this concern. Why do I even sense that there's a deficiency in intimacy with God? I want to give you five reasons for the cause of this just very briefly. And this is going to be a little different. It's not really going to be a preaching service as such. I'll have passages of Scripture that I will certainly incorporate. But these are moments for you in your journaling to just take note of these things and then maybe spend more time thinking upon them yourself. But what's the cause for this particular concern of the lack of intimacy with God? I think, first of all, the whole concept of our world has faced such a decline in morality that the whole concept of intimacy is foreign to our culture. When you have a world of immorality, I promise you, all of a sudden, the sense of intimacy is jeopardized. We'll talk about that more. So the decline in morality as a whole, I think, has contributed to the absence of intimacy even with God. I think the deterioration, secondly, of the whole concept of marriage and family. I don't mean to put any of you on the spot as students, and certainly not anyone on the spot in this room, staff included. But the truth is, we live in a world of dysfunctional families. I dare say that many of you come from homes where, you know, you have either seen a situation where there's been a divorce involved, or maybe there's just an absent parent because of a separation. Maybe there's complications in other ways that have taken place. We have a dysfunctional, deteriorating family culture. And then there's no doubt about the fact that the whole concept of the confusion about what constitutes marriage. In a world that we live in that says, you know, we're not even sure what the definition of marriage is, that strikes at the very heart of intimacy. A third cause for this concern is, I think most importantly, and could have started with this one, and that is that we live in a world that has a very, you know, unashamed denial of the authority of Scripture. We deny that the Bible can tell us what to do. And so consequently, we live in a world that doesn't take the Bible seriously, doesn't suggest that the Bible can define for us what we should be or should do. And so the denial of the authority of Scripture further contributes to this absence of intimacy with God. A fourth cause for this concern, I think, is the what I call the dominance of shallow expressions of intimacy. The dominance of shallow expressions of intimacy. I don't mean to date myself by way of age here, but you know, I grew up at a time when I was in a college setting when friend meant something different than it means today. The idea of a friend in your world is basically somebody on Facebook. Somebody that just maybe, you know, I know that there are other thoughts of that, but the truth is our world has so diminished the concept. I have used this term in previous occasions, I think even on one of the, I know on one of the occasions of an anniversary chapel, where I talked about the fact that we live in a world of all kinds of connectivity, whether it's, you know, smartphones or texting, emails, all of the efforts of connection are there, but there is no depth of any kind of intimacy with friendships. I'm not denying that there are friends, but in a world of a dominant, shallow expression of intimacy, we easily discard, and thus the breakup of marriages and the breakup of homes and the breakup of friendships, the dominance of shallow expressions of intimacy have caused us, I think, to lose intimacy with God. And then the last of these, and there are probably more that could be noted, but the fifth of these causes for this concern is what I call the detrimental effect of media upon our world today. We have a culture of media around us which mocks right and champions wrong, by way of the Bible's definition. And so consequently, when it comes to any kind of standard of intimacy, our media would mock that kind of fidelity, would find itself making light of anybody who's committed to a fidelity in a marriage setting or fidelity in a friendship setting. And so with the whole influence of all that goes with media, from everything from the film industry to the music industry to all that goes with it, our media constant influence causes us to also jeopardize intimacy with God. I move from this cause for this concern to just maybe addressing very briefly what the concept of intimacy is. What do we mean? What do I mean when I talk about intimacy? Well, from a biblical standpoint, intimacy in the Bible is described with a term that we relate to very respectfully and honorably as describing the most intimate of relationships between a man and a woman in a marriage relationship. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 4 as you move right into the very beginning of that very rendition of creation and the account of civilization. And we have this expression, Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew his wife and she brought forth a child, Cain. You see, the very expression of physical relationships that brings about the conception of a child is described in the beauty of the language of Scripture as knowing that person. That concept is what I want to just bring to your attention by way of the understanding of what it means to have intimacy with God. And so when we talk about this idea of intimacy, it is something that ought to have its very depths rooted in the most precious and personal of relationships possible in every realm. So what is the cure for this particular concern? It's there that I want to spend the bulk of my time with you this morning. I want to give you just a couple of thoughts by way of introduction, and if you would, take your Bibles, please, and turn to three or four passages that I'm going to give to you in succession here. First, if you would, please, turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. When we talk about the cure for intimacy concern, I want to just bring to your attention a couple of thoughts before I give you some steps in that cure. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. John says, "And now, little children, abide in him." I want to pause right there and say that is a description of an intimacy that is very precious. The word abide there has the idea of being at home in the presence of another. I travel a lot, as you know, and I'm in lots of settings of hospitality, often in a home. And the truth is, in the presence of a place that someone calls home that's not home to me, as extending and as kind as those persons can be, it's not my home. No, the truth is, to be intimate with God means that He is at a level of relationship to you that is singularly His, and nothing else competes with it. Abide in Him is the exhortation. And now, little children, abide in Him. And the exhortation is the passage, go on in verse 28, so that when He shall appear, I think reference to the rapture, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We should have such an intimate relationship with God, such an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that at the coming of Christ in the rapture, His presence will not be either a surprise or a disruption or some kind of an embarrassment to us, but it's just the visual and the physical relationship that we have enjoyed on a spiritual level. We don't see Christ in person. Someday we will. When we see Him, I don't think there's any suggestion of irreverence to say that as a person has been abiding in Christ, His presence will be a welcomed addition to our lives. But if we're finding ourselves absent of intimacy, we will find ourselves a little uncomfortable in His presence. Now again, I'm not dismissing the fact that God will always be one that we in awe and wonder bow before when we're really where we should be. But the truth is, one who is in fellowship in intimate way with Christ will not find themselves out of place, because their abiding means they're at home in His presence. And so that's the first scriptural reminder. Note, secondly, not only to be abiding as we see there, turn back to John chapter 15, if you would, please. John chapter 15, I read verse 5 a moment ago for our meditation, but as you see, verse 4. This whole chapter has a great deal to say about abiding, this being at home in our relationship with God. But now John 15, 4 says, "Abide in Me and I in you. Except the branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me." And so this concept of abiding is part of this thought of the cure that we'll move to in a moment as I give you these steps. I note, secondly, not only this idea of abiding, but there is also this very familiar verse found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 38. If you'll turn there, please, Matthew chapter 22. As you're turning to that passage, you'll see this as one of the most familiar of all verses in the Scripture by way of its challenge to us. But it really cuts to the very quick, this idea of intimacy with God. Matthew chapter 22, at the occasion when a skilled student of the Scriptures comes to Jesus and says, "Master, what do I need to do to have, you know, eternal life?" In one passage. And so he says, "Master, what's the great commandment in the law?" Verse 36, Matthew 22, 36. "And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." And so the very essence of our relationship with God is tied to this loving, comfortable, abiding relationship with Him. Intimacy. Intimacy. I tell the story sometime of when I first met my sweetheart on this campus. The nervousness with which I approached that first occasion of what we'd call a date was such that in preparation for it, I wasn't sure that I could, you know, maintain a conversation for the length of time we were able to be together. In those days, it's hard for you students to realize how rare that was, but this happened to be an evening where we had an extended time, about 3 hours together on campus. And so basically you talked. It wasn't like you could do anything else. You talked. And so in my concern over whether I could manage the conversation for 3 hours with someone that I was just getting really to know, I remember making a list of topics that we could discuss and putting it on a paper and slipping it into the coat pocket of my suit coat. And by the way, we dressed up for dates in those days. I just want you to know that. Not every time, but so I dressed up in a suit just to be here on campus. And I thought, now, if ever I get to this point of awkwardness because of just getting to know this person, you know, at that juncture, intimacy would have never been an appropriate word to our description, just acquaintance. And so I thought, now, I could sort of do one of these numbers and look and never have it be known that I was just seeing what the next topic of discussion would be. Now, the last laugh is on you, because I never looked at it all evening. And I've not made a list ever since. my point is this. As you get to have a loving relationship and a comfort of familiarity with somebody, intimacy becomes a natural response. Now, how do we make that happen? I want to give you these five steps, maybe in answer to this question. How can I be intimate with God? May I give you just these five words that I believe, as you develop them, can not necessarily exhaustively give you this, but can appropriately guide you to be intimate with God. To have that comfort, not in the sense of disrespecting Him, but because you are truly engaged in a familiarity of love relationship that makes you intimate with Him. And so these five steps to answer the question, how can I be intimate with God? The cure, if you will. We've seen the cause of this concern, the concept of what it means to be so physically bound, like the description of a human physical relationship in marriage. But now the cure for this concern. These five steps. First off, number one, determination is the first word I want you to get. Determination. Philippians 3:10. Put the passage down there in your notes. Paul's determination. He made a decision that said, I want to be intimate with God. Have you ever made that decision? Do you really want to be intimate with God? Now, I want to warn you, to be intimate with Him is going to change us, because God and sin don't go together, for starters. And God is a God of holiness, and so holiness is what He is described with by way of the essence of His person. So if I'm going to be intimate with God, I promise you, it'll change me. But by the grace of God, that's what we should all want. Have you ever made a decision in your heart, I want to be intimate with God? Philippians 3:10, Paul said, in the concluding days of His ministry, oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. Do you want to really know God intimately? That's the first step. You must determine that you want to. I invite you to make that decision even in this very moment. Lord, by Your grace, I want to be somebody who is intimate with You. Determination is the first step. Decide to do it. The second of these steps is what I call demonstration. Demonstration. The verse of Scripture I give you there, John 15:10. I'm not quite so familiar. Would you turn to that passage, please? John 15:10, as you're writing down that word. Determination, followed by demonstration. John 15:10 says, if ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. You know what the key to ultimate intimacy is? It's obedience to the Bible. It's as simple as that. It really is. Obedience to the Bible. I demonstrate by my obedience my intimacy with Him. Another passage that I thought of that I did not choose to include in terms of my referencing here, but you know, if you love Me, keep My commandments. The proof of my love for God is not saying it, it's demonstrating it with my obedience. I really do believe that the greatest battle that we face, I said this yesterday as I preached at Maxwell Hill, the greatest battle we face is not knowing what to do, it's actually choosing to do it. I'm confident every person in this room knows more of the Bible than you're obeying right now, including me. And I know that's a serious admittance, because the truth is, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. And so it's not a matter of just getting off easily or just saying, well, that's just life or that's the way everybody is. No, by God's grace, we must pledge ourselves with determination to know Him, but with demonstration to obey His word. And so that's the second step in this intimacy burden that I share with you. Followed by number three word, if we've seen determination and demonstration, we need next see dedication. Dedication. If you will, make it a priority. You know, we all have things that we have as priorities. It's evident by what we do. Your priority might be to text your friends or to Facebook or to do some video game or to do some kind of a activity or to eat something. I don't know what your priority might be. Coffee might be your, I had to say that, For some of you, coffee is your priority because you give yourself to it and you're not worth a hoot till you have it, My further reference as to why it's an addiction, never mind, I'm off on the tail. That's not part of my concern for this chapel, I want you to know that. But the truth is, Do you make this a priority? 1 John 1:7 is the verse I want you to put there. You probably know it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Will you make it a dedicated determination that I am going to truly be intimate with God by obeying his word, and I'm going to give attention to it? It's a priority of my life. A priority of my life. That's why I'm, you know, constantly reminded to put God's word into my heart by memory. I believe the memorization of God's word is one of the best ways to keep it before me, to constantly then seek to be doing it. As you think, so you are. When you memorize, you're having to think, so I'm using my mind to exercise my actions. And so, dedication is the third of these particular steps. Step number four, and I know I'll disappoint some of you because while it's a D, it's not the same as the three that's preceded it. Please accept my apologies. The fourth word is discipline. Discipline. I do believe that one of the greatest challenges of Christian living is the discipline of life. We live in a chaotic, non-disciplined world. We randomly do whatever we want to, whenever we want to. I sometimes get in trouble by talking about online education with a measure of caution because I say, you know, truthfully, well, I think it's a vehicle of opportunity that I don't despise totally. But the truth is, most online education interest is not due to the fact of wanting to learn something. It's wanting to have something easy to learn. I want to do it at my own time. I want to do it in my pajamas. You know, I want to do it, you know, yeah, that's what I want. And the discipline of learning. Thank you for being here. Not because of just trying to fill a seat, but because I think it's part of the discipline of structure that is important for life. And here's my verse for you, 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down every vain imagination and bringing into captivity. That means to literally wrestle into control. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our thoughts define us. What I am is what I think. And so I must bring the discipline of my thoughts if I'm going to be intimate with God. And so discipline is step number four in this cure. But that brings us to step number five. And this one is one that I purposely and thankfully can tie in even to this week. And that is that there are dividends to intimacy with God. Dividends is the word. Lots of them. But turn to John 15, if you would again, please, this passage that we refer to frequently. John chapter 15, verse 7. You know, one of the greatest dividends of intimacy is prayer. In fact, it's one of the greatest evidence of your intimacy is your prayer life. I promise you, when you have a relationship with someone on earth that's important to you, conversation is one of the ways that you show that particular relationship. Prayer is our opportunity to demonstrate our intimacy with God. It's really not trying to give you a guilt trip, but you know, the truth is, when we have a prayer emphasis week, or when you have a chance to have a prayer meeting like tomorrow morning's prayer time, I won't be there. I'm going to be in New York, so I'm not trying to pass judgment on persons who can't be there. But I'm telling you this, make sure the reason you're not there is for a good reason rather than just your slothfulness, the absence of your intimacy. And by the way, your reason for not being there might also need to be reviewed to see whether or not it's legitimate or whether or not you've put a priority over your relationship over the intimacy with God that prayer can describe. Prayer is an expression of intimacy in communion with God. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, intimacy, and my words abide in you, the demonstration of intimacy, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a pretty amazing promise, but you got to meet the conditions. First is the abiding, and this is not salvation, this is a relationship. And secondly is the obedience to the Bible. We should never, ever be surprised when our prayers are not answered if we are intentionally disobeying the Bible in some way. If ye abide in me, intimacy, and my words abide in you, the demonstration of that by obedience to the Scripture, then prayer is a carte blanche. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, the reason I can guarantee that is because when you're abiding with God and when you're obeying His Word, your prayer life will be in concert or will be compatible to what He wants. And so we will be praying things that are in accordance with His Word and with our relationship to Him. intimacy. I hope you'll find yourself moved to that. And this morning, I want to just leave these thoughts with you. In this world of casual, shallow relationships, may I just say, would you ask your heart to be driven to intimacy with God? And remember, those steps, decide to do it, determined by the demonstration of your life to obey God's word. Find yourself then with that dedication. It's a priority to my life. With the discipline that goes with controlling my thoughts. With the wonderful blessing of the dividends, far more than just prayer. That's just one of many dividends. Oh, what a precious privilege to have an intimate walk with God.